our Bibles and go over to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, and we'll just be looking at the one verse there tonight in Colossians 3, Colossians 3 and verse 19. Now, the overall theme, of course, of this book is the superiority of Christ, that Christ is superior to all other things, and so why would you leave Christ and go back to the rudimentary things of the world? Now, Paul then enforces that theologic point with a practical application of how we are to live. If Christ is superior, then we need to put off the old life. We need to put on the new life. We need to add to ourselves certain virtues and qualities. We need to add those things into our lives. And so the apostle lays out various virtues that we are to put off, or bad things we're to put off, and various virtues that we are to add into our lives. Various things that are important for us to put in. And I think as we look at these two, the one concerning wives, the one concerning husbands, and then the next week, children, and you know, it's somewhat specific to this certain class. And yet there are certain principles that will apply more broadly and apply to all. And so we will look today at Colossians 3 and 19, which says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And so Christians must add this virtue to their lives. Now, the first thing here is the command that is given. It says that, "Husbands, you are to love your wives." This is the word agape, the word for love that is so well known. It is the word that is found in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And so many will say that this is, of course, a giving love, because it is a love in which God gives out to us. It is a concern for the well-being of the cherished object that actually causes you then to be changed, to be different, to act in a certain way, to move in such a way that you are trying to aid and help that object that you care about, that you love. It is a matter of the will first. You'll notice here that it is a command. It is, "Husbands, love your wives." It is not if you feel like it. If you have, you know, this proportion, you know, if there is some stirring in your heart, if you know, one day you're walking along and you just fall into it, you know, you fell into love as if, you know, it was some pit and, you know, you dropped into the swamp of love and, you know, sunk down into some, you know, some cauldron of despair. It is not that you are falling into love. It is not such a thing. It is a command. It is something that it is a matter then of the will. It is something you choose to do. You may choose to do it. You may choose to not do it. It is secondarily a feeling. Feelings will often follow that which, you know, what you are doing. You know, if you've got a little bit of an ache and a pain and you decide that I'll just lay in the bed here today and, you know, take it easy. Well, what happens? Before you know it, it is a giant ache and pain. You have talked yourself into, you know, 13 different deadly diseases and all manner of problems. And, you know, your whole body is aching and you can feel, you know, every portion of your body is giving you problems. If you just get up and get going, oh, that little twinge in the back works itself out and you're fine to go. You know, and so very often that's kind of the case it is. Feelings will follow what you do. And if you will obey as a husband, you will love your wife, you will make that a matter of your will, then the feelings will follow. It is a selfless devotion. It is not dealing with the matter of self-satisfaction. And that is a problem in our present world. Folks look for someone of common interest and, you know, that we love to do the same thing. And basically, you know, you've got two selfish people on the same path. And then we wonder why it doesn't work out well. Well, there's a reason for that. It has to be a matter of selfless devotion. And so this is the meaning of the word. It is a concern, a care, an activity that is motivated for your deep feeling for this one, a matter of choice. And because of that, you then respond in such a way that brings benefit to that cherished object. Now, the second thing here is the encouragement to love. We have several encouragements to love that are given to us in the Scripture. Of course, there is the command, and that is certainly an encouragement, but I think more there is the example of the Trinity. As we think about God, God has always been in love. It is tells us that the Scripture says God is love. There has ever been love expressed among the members of the Trinity. In the book of John, in chapter 15 and verse 9, I can't get out of Luke. John 15 and verse 9, it says here, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. You see the love of Christ, the love of the Father being expressed for Christ there. There is a love that is there. In John 17, Jesus again, dealing in that same area, in verse 10, says, All mine are thine, thine are mine, I am glorified in them, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I have come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And so there is this unity, this oneness within the Trinity, this oneness expressed in love one for another, concern and care for one another. And that concern and care, that quality of God, is part of who we are. We are to be a loving people. We are to love. We are to love one another. We are to love our wife. We are to love our husband. We are to love our children. There is to be love. And it is a characteristic that needs to be expressed amongst Christian people. And so certainly, while this is a command given to husbands to love, we cannot say that there is not an application to all of us to love, that all of us ought to be loving, because it is a characteristic of our God. It is a characteristic of the Trinity. It is a part of who they are, that they love one another, that God is love. Now, secondly, there is the example of Christ. We see how Christ loves us. Back there in John 15 again, you see how that Christ expressed that love. And in John 15 and verse 9, it says there, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so you see there the example of Christ. Christ loved us. We are to love others. We are to love one another. We are to follow his commandments. You know, obedience to commandments is a matter of will. You decide to obey a law or you decide to disobey a law. You know, it's a matter of will. It's not a matter of feeling. You know, nobody says, you know, I just feel like not robbing a bank today. Well, I feel like robbing a bank. You just don't. That's no. It is a matter of choice. You decide to do it. You obey it. Because why? It is the law. And so it is not a matter of feeling. And so it is in this matter of love. It is a matter of will, a matter of choice. As we go on, there is also the value of relationship, the encouragement to love. As we think specifically concerning the marriage bond and the love that the husband is to express toward the wife, there is to be the value there of that relationship. You know, I think so often there is a great deal of, sadness in homes because there is not that expression of love. They do not express that love one for another. You can think of the various examples in the Old Testament of various ones, and the it just seems like there was constantly trouble. You know, think of Jacob's home and the back and forth that's going on in that. Think of Solomon there. You know, you just don't think of him as being of great comfort and love in that home. You think of the problems that David had with his home and the difficulties of the children there and all of those things that were going on. And so you see that often there is not this kind of love in the home, but there ought to be. And when we don't avail ourselves of the command to love, we reap what we sow rather than getting the benefit, which is kindness and goodness and mercy and love and, the joy and all of those things that come, we reap grief and strife and fighting and, all those things. And so there is a value to the relationship that I think is very important. And, John even expresses that here in the Lord Jesus as he is talking to his disciples. He says, "These things I've spoken unto you that your joy may remain in you." See, when we're expressing that love one for another, there's a joy that is coming. Now, obviously the Lord is talking in a bigger context here than he is just the marriage, but it certainly applies to that limited context. There is a joy that comes. And in verse 13, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And of course, we know, he's talking about the sacrifice of himself and that, and, the love that we have for God, that we sacrifice our love for God, our lives for God. And thus, greater love cannot be expressed. But that is the type of love that God expects in the home, where we will lay down our lives for one another. We will give of ourselves. We will devote ourselves to them. We will put away our interests and put their interest primary. And there will come to you then joy. There's a value that comes to it. And so there is an encouragement to love in that. Now there are some certain hindrances to love. One of the great hindrances to love we touched on this morning is the matter of selfishness. In Genesis 2:18, "It is not good that man should be alone." Why? Because of nature he would be selfish. And selfishness is, ever a problem. It is a problem that we all face. It is easy to focus upon self and harder to focus upon others. And yet selfishness is a problem we have. And so selfishness can hinder us from love. As we, rather than thinking of what can I do for them, what can I do, how can I help them, how can I reach out for them, we begin to think, isn't it time for me to sit down? Isn't it time for me to rest? Why can't they help me? Why, and we focus on me, me, me. And there's a problem. See, love is a focus on others. It is a giving to others. It is a caring for others. It is a concern for others that so moves us and motivates us that we do something different. That's different than the attitude that says, take care of me. Watch over me. Give to me. I want me. That's not love. And so husbands are commanded to love their wives, and it is a special area that I think we struggle with, this area of selfishness. Another area is the matter of laziness, just plain laziness. Proverbs 6, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider whose ways and be wise." And while I don't have the rest of that memorized well enough to quote the rest of it, it goes on there and says, in verse 7, "which having no guide or overseer, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise from thy bed? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." See, when we don't put forth the effort to love, and it is an effort, okay? It is not, again, a matter of feeling. It is not, again, something that, you're just in a euphoric state and float along. This is the message, by and large, of Hollywood. This is the message that they present. I have seen very, very few. I can only remember one movie which actually probably accurately presented love. Most of them, it is this frivolous foolishness of falling, lightning bolt hits you, you hear rangings and bells, and, people are running across fields of flowers and, all this kind of stuff, and, there's music in the background. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't hear a lot of music in the background most of the time. And I don't see myself running across fields of flowers. I'm just not very ethereal. That's tough. I don't have those kinds of, feelings, and all those sorts of things. So it is a matter of will. It's a matter of choice. Now that puts it down and you say, well, that kind of makes it not very loving. It's not very romantic. It's not very, you know, those times come when you do what you're supposed to do. Okay? When you do the right thing, you will feel good sometimes. Sometimes you just don't. You know, there'll be times when you just don't feel in a certain way. You know, sometimes you don't feel like you want to go to work. But you get up and go anyway. You know, there's other times you love your job and you just enjoy it and you're just excited to get there and do something. But you don't feel that way all the time. There are problems and there are difficulties, and that's just part of who we are. We sometimes don't feel a certain way. And so we have to put forth the effort. We have to put the energy into it. We have to put labor into it. It takes effort. And if we are like the sluggard and we sit there on our bed and say, well, you know, I'll take care of that, you know, loving my wife and putting the effort in tomorrow. I just let me rest a little. You know, just let me sit down in the chair for the next 5 years and just, what's going to happen? Your want will come as an armed man. And what are you going to do then? You have no way to fight it back. It's gone. It's destroyed. And so there are certain hindrances to love that come into our lives, selfishness and laziness. But then, fourthly, there is, I think, the practice of love. In just a practical way, there is the practice in word. You know, the scripture speaks of, you know, affection. The book of Song of Solomon speaks of this, great deal of affection. And words of, you know, great floweriness and stuff. And, I guess some of that has to do with the person and the personality. Some people are poetic and given to those sorts of words. And others are real not. And so, but affection. And just showing, you know, saying nice things and speaking words of love. And that's important. Kindness. You know, the practice of love involves just considerate kindness. Being considerate. Just being kind. You know, put forth the effort. You know, make the effort to open the door. You know, make the effort to help carry the stuff in. You know, I mean, I understand that, you know, there was, you know, a time when, you know, you had four kids and, you know, everybody's grabbing two and, you know, three diaper bags but there's also the time when you don't, and you can open the doors and you can be polite and you can, you know, do those things and just be kind and considerate and, you know, help in the home even. When she's been working all day and you've been working all day and you come home and you're tired and you plop down and say, you know, when's dinner ready? Why don't you say, when dinner's ready, when I get my lazy self up out of the chair and make it? Rather than, you know, being concerned when the other person is doing it for you. We have to have that kindness, that consideration, that willingness to get up and help and do things. And, you know, and then just thankfulness. Everybody likes to be thanked once in a while. And just, you know, to get a little bit of a pat on the back. Now, I realize, you know, we shouldn't have to. We should just be, you know, diligent and faithful and, you know, good soldiers and march forward and all of those sorts of things. But even in the Army, you get a medal once in a while. You know, you get a promotion. You get a stripe on the arm. You know, they once in a while tell you you did a good job. You know, you get a commendation. And so, being thankful in word. And then there's the matter of deed. You know, part of the practice of love is simply time. Just spending time with her. You're going to spend your life doing something. What are you going to spend it doing? You're going to spend it, you know, on your hobby? Is that who you married, your hobby? Where will you spend it with your wife? You know, spend time one with another. Make time. Good. You know, I mean, I understand it is, you know, quite logical that one person can do all the shopping. I get it. And it can be done. you know. But if both of you are working, that's a good time to spend time together. Now, you know, going shopping is maybe not the most exciting thing for many of us. Shopping is exciting for me because I make it a mission. You know, I have a challenge. I have a list. 69 things. How many seconds can I accomplish this in? You know, and I'm, you know, I got it laid out and I've got it planned out and I'll charge! You know, let's get this done, race through, you know. You know, see, there should be smoke going off the back of those, you know, cartwheels, you know. You know, you should be going around those corners on two wheels. There's no reason to be, you know, pausing in there, you know. And, you know, you got to move and get those things done and see, you know, get in there and get out. And I get that. You know, but not everybody shops like I do. Some like to shop more slowly. They like to stop and meditate and look and consider and think about and, you know, weigh and decide and pick up and put down and come back to four times. You know, they just, that's just the way people are. Some people are like that. And so you learn patience. You know, you have a purpose. You're there to spend time together. So you're spending time together. You know? So that's just the way it is. You spend time. You know, part of it is helping. You know, helping out with all of the things that are needed. There's so much to do in life. You know, you've got bills to pay and you've got taxes to take care of and a home to take care of and children to take care of and just, you know, work and just on and on and on the list goes. You know, and we have to help. Help one another. You know, that's what God said. I will make for him a helper fit for him. The helper is supposed to help, not do all the work. You get that? See, the helper is supposed to help. You know, the helper is the helper. You know, if you go on the construction site, you know, you have a carpenter. The carpenter does the work. The carpenter has a helper. What does the helper do? Helps. The helper's not supposed to be building the house. Why? Because the helper doesn't, that's not his job. He may not be, you know, he may be the first man on the job. You know, he might have been there a week. He, you know, he doesn't know. I can remember some helpers I got that were, Lord help us. You know, one dear soul, you'd send him to the store, go get, you know, 10 2x4s. An hour and a half later, and this was before he had cell phone, an hour and a half later, he'd come back with a, you know, a 1x4. They didn't have any 2x4s. I measured every board in the store. Oh, Lord. Here. 1.5 inches by 3.5 inches. Now, give me your ruler and take a black magic marker right here to right here. Now, go find ones that fit that one. And if it's a wee bit off the line, it's okay. All right? you know, I'm not kidding. I'd spend lunch explaining fractions, trying to help the poor guy. And another guy that spoke Chinese. Well, that was wonderful. Come on. Bring. Pick. You know, I remember we had this one spot. We had to, you know, carry this wheelbarrow across and dig stuff out of this house. And we were adding big stuff. And, you know, it was a big mess. And there was one board that wasn't, you know, right on the edge. It was, you know, over a little. And you can't step there. And I explained that to him. I mean, I got down. I stepped on it. The board goes up, you know. And it's, ooh, bad, bad. You get it? Bad, bad, bad. You got it? Bad. No, no. Bad, bad. Oh, no, no, no. Bad! You know, and I was, you got it? You got it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. 5 minutes later, he falls through the hole with the wheelbarrow and laying in the dirt. He's going, bad, bad! I mean, yeah, bad! You finally got it! You know, the helper's supposed to be the helper. They don't know. So, you know, you have to help. And, you know, it's not right to expect the helper to be doing all the work. And so, men, we do have to help out. We do have to be participating. We do have to be a part of the home. We do have to be putting forth the deed. We do have to be working. We can't be lazy. There is also the matter of giving. You know, you need to be, you know, once in a while, bring home some flowers. Once in a while, give some candy. Do something, you know, do some nice things. Just be considerate. Give occasional gift. You know, okay, what do you want? No, I don't want anything. All right, just, you know, once in a while, bring a gift home. And just be nice. Just be giving. These are some of the practices of love. Well, there is an addendum which is of specific concern here in this verse. You notice it says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Now, the addendum then is to be bitter, which seems a bit strange. When you're loving, that you would be bitter. And yet, it deals with the perversity of the heart. Modern versions will tend to go with the word harsh. The lexicon says it has the idea of being sharp, harsh, and bitter. It says it speaks of friction caused by impatience and thoughtless nagging, perpetual irritation and fault-finding. Now remember, men, this is what we are doing. It is not that the wife is nagging. It is not that the wife is a perpetual irritation. No, it is that we are a perpetual irritation. It is that we are constantly nagging about everything that's going on. It is that we have that we are very impatient, that we cause the friction. And what here is forbidden is a perpetual state of this. Now, there will be, of course, times when one has to, you know, mention certain things that are, you know, difficulties. And, you know, you have to deal with just, you know, getting along and occasionally, you know, expressing certain things that are, you know, and dealing with that. So it's not wrong to occasionally say, you know, something, you know, there's a problem here and, you know, we need to discuss this. It is not saying that we don't ever discuss a problem. Okay, that's not the point. The point is that we do not have that attitude, that matter of bitterness that comes in there. We get this state of mind where, you know, nothing is right. Everything is wrong. They can't do anything right. And that's just not true. That's a problem with us. We have a problem when we become bitter, when we allow something to just get under our skin and will not let it go. You know? Scarlet Letter. I don't read it many, many years ago. I don't remember a whole lot about it. But I do remember the one guy was bitter. And he died. And there was a black rose that grew out of his heart. You know, and I thought, what a picture. A very bitter man. You know, what a terrible thing to be like that. To have a heart that is just evil. And that is the idea here, that we are not to let our heart become just evil. Just become angry. We're always upset. You know. And there are some that are given to that kind of mentality. I don't know, there's a new commercial out about some boss who's signed up for some new service, and as a result of signing up for the new service, everything is great in his business. You know, and so, you know, somebody comes in and says, we cut fuel consumption by 30%. Oh, great! You know, and suddenly the phone rings. Oh, another happy customer! You know, sometimes it just takes time for certain people to get past, you know, the negative spirit. And some men are just like that. They're just negative. They're just, everything is bad. You can't find anything good. They're just, well, that's a problem. And so, husbands, we are to love our wives. We are not to be like that. Now, there's certain encouragements to avoid this sin, which are given to us, for instance, in Colossians I wrote down chapter 4, but I'm sure that's not right. It should be chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And the passage there that I was thinking of was the one in here where it talks about, where is it here? where it talks about the fact that we have, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. And this is the purpose, the reason for this. These folks will not live right. And because they refuse to live right, the wrath of God comes upon these children of disobedience. And so this is the problem here. When we decide that we are going to hold on to one of these virtues or one of these evils, well, that's it. It's Colossians 3 in verse 6, where it says, "For this sake, for which thing's sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." When we decide we are going to hang on to these evil things, these wicked things, and he names certain ones, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry. You know, he names these various ones. He says, put away these now, you know, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. When we are hanging on to those things, the wrath of God's coming against the ungodly. What do you think God's going to do for his own children? Is he just going to say, well, you know, I'm going to punish the ungodly, but you're my child. You can be full of wrath. You can be full of anger. You can be bitter. You can be this. It's okay. No, I don't think so. You know, we're much more prone to judge our own children than we are the neighbor's children. And I believe God will deal with us much quicker than he will deal with the ungodly concerning these matters. And so there is the wrath of God. When we decide that we will be bitter and we will treat our wives in that way and we will hold on to that sin, God will judge. There is the inconsistency with our new member, with our new nature. He says, for ye are dead there in chapter 4 and verse 3. For ye are dead, or chapter 3 verse 3. It says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, we have a whole new life. We have new life in Christ. It is completely inconsistent for us who have new life in Christ to be living a life of evil. It's just not who we are. So you want to know why your life doesn't feel good? Because you're trying to be what you're not. So stop doing that. Don't let the wrath of God come upon you. Don't be inconsistent with who you are. And then there is, of course, the great value of love. Proverbs 15 and verse 17, Proverbs 15, 17, says this here. In Proverbs 15, 17, it says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Now, a stalled ox would probably be translated well today with a freezer full of steaks. Okay? A stalled ox is, you know, meat on the hoof. That's the purpose there, okay? You know, and so it'd be like for us saying we got a freezer full of steaks. You know, you have the finest of everything. It's better to be eating a bunch of bitter herbs. You know, you're eating parsley and I don't know, basil and, you know, mustard greens and all that kind of stuff. You know, you're eating this kind of stuff. Better to have that in love than to have a whole freezer full of steak. See, it is better. Love is of great value. And so it is inconsistent for us to say to ourselves, you know, I will be bitter, not have love, because somehow that's going to be better. Do we see the perversity of our heart? Love is of great value. 1 Corinthians 13, which is a very common passage, says to us that, you know, these three abide, love, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, if I don't have that, if I don't have love, I am but as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Now, you know, I like a good band concert as much as the next fella. And, you know, I enjoy the, you know, the big number at the end there, you know, where the drums are beating, you know, boom, 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 you know, and you get the cymbal at the end, you know, and it's all exciting and, you know, and the thing is finished and you applaud and it's all exciting. How would you like to go to a band concert that was nothing but cymbals? Probably not. Might be a little irritating, don't you think? After the first 20 minutes of bang, 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 bang. You know, might be a bit irritating. When we don't have love, that's what we're like. And so there is an encouragement to avoid that, the value of love. And then there is the source of this bitterness. The source of this bitterness comes, as verse 5 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." It comes out of our own sinful nature. Where does this bitterness come from? It comes from us. It comes from our failure to put off and to put on. We have not obeyed the command of God to put off these qualities and to put on these qualities. And so as a result, we have bitterness. It comes out of our perverse heart. And so we must put these things away. Jesus told us there in Matthew chapter 15, in verse 17 to 20. He said here, "Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." You see, it's not what we put in us, not the food we eat, not the ceremony that defiles us. It's what's in us. That's the problem. You see, Christians, we have a responsibility to love one another. Husbands especially have a responsibility to love their wife. And there is a danger that is especially prevalent, and that danger is the danger of bitterness. Because why? We're selfish and lazy. And so things don't go our way, and so we get mad. You can't get mad at work because why? The boss will fire you. So you come home and you're mad at your wife. The scripture says no, it's wrong. It's sin. Put those things off. Put them off. And put on these qualities. Add to your faith love. See? And the nine fruits of the Spirit. These are the things that we are to put on. Love. Now this certainly is a policy that every Christian is supposed to have. We are to love one another. We all can, you know, work on that. But husbands especially have that responsibility to love their wives. And they have that responsibility to make sure that they do not let bitterness come into their lives. So we must add to our faith the virtue of love. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we do pray that you'll help us in these things.